talked with him about the kingdom of God. And when they came together, he gave them this order: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I told you about, the gift my Father promised. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel? And Jesus said to them, the time and occasion are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when they will be. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up to heaven. As they watched him, a cloud hid him from their sight. They still had their eyes fixed on the sky as he went away. When two men dressed in white suddenly stood beside them and said, Galileans, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you saw him go to heaven.
Is the mic on? No. Good. It's good to be here again today. Although I must say I have some anxiety as I stand in front of the congregation, it is a different experience than being in the pew. And so I do ask for your prayers as I share today that God might somehow work through this imperfect vessel and bring something that is helpful to each of you. The title of the message today is The Holy Spirit Making Ordinary Lives Extraordinary. In the scripture that Dan read, he shared this verse from Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power. What kind of power are we talking about here? Maybe we could have some responses from you here. What kind of power does the Holy Spirit give us?
Boldness.
Boldness. Okay.
The power of peace.
Okay. Wisdom. Dunamis, okay, which is another word for power, strength. Yes.
Power to overcome.
Okay. Correction. Direction. Good. Thanks, Austin.
Insight.
To illumine our mind.
Revelation.
Again, to open our minds. Amen. Power to bring new life.
Authority.
Okay, we could go on. These are just a few examples. And I'd like to focus on some aspects of this power that the Holy Spirit gives. One is the power to love. When Margarita N. spoke here a couple of weeks ago, she focused in part on the commandment to love God with all of our hearts and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. The whole theme of love is central to the gospel. In fact, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. Paul says that if the Holy Spirit is living in us, if the Holy Spirit is leading us, then this is going to be evidenced by love in our lives, love for others as well as love for God. And Jesus said in John 13:34, after he had washed the feet of the disciples, He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And then he added a very important rider on that. As I have loved you. Love is one of those very ambiguous words in our society. It can mean a whole variety of things. It can be something that is very selfish, that doesn't really care about the other person as long as one has just personal gratification. Love can also be something that is very lofty and lifts others up and glorifies God. When Jesus gave the command to love, he is calling us to love as he loves us. That's the example that we have. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, Peter says there, love one another earnestly because love covers a multitude of sins. When we were in Port Simpson many years ago, we lived right in the middle of the village of about 1,200 people. This is on the northwest coast of BC. The only way to get there is by airplane or by boat, although now they may have a road into the community, which is 25 kilometers north of Prince Rupert. And I was stationed there in a small church. Kathy was a local village doctor. And I had a study right in the manse, or right in the parsonage. And there was a beautiful window in the parsonage that overlooked the village below. One morning about 10:30, as I was working away in the study, preparing for Sunday, and just Kathy came in with a snack. She happened to be home that day. Maybe it was on a Saturday, because she'd normally be working Monday to Friday. But I often worked on Saturdays as well. And she came in with a snack, and I turned, and she was looking very lovely, and I just stood up, and I gave her a hug. I gave her kind of a passionate hug. And then I gave her a kiss, and I stopped there. But I realized, or I had this sense that we weren't alone. And I kind of turned, and I looked out the window, and it was a high window. The ground was maybe 10 feet below, because there was a slope the house was built on. And so nobody could stand outside the window and look in. But there was a telephone pole that rose up. And there on the telephone pole was a lineman working away. And I noticed he was looking intently into the house, wondering what was going on. Well, she was my wife. She wasn't a secretary that was there working for me. And I was grateful that I could say to this man later on, this is my wife, and we love each other after many years of marriage. The Lord Jesus went on to say that by our love for one another, all people will know that we are his disciples. He didn't say by all of our miracles, by all of our great works, by all of our knowledge, that people will know that we are his disciples. He said we will know, the world will know that we are his disciples by our love for one another. And this is where we often fall down as Christians when we look at the worldwide church, when we look at the interaction of denominations and various church groups. We're often more characterized by competition and by criticism, sometimes very bitter criticism, and maybe at times it may be justified. But how we criticize should always be done in love, with a desire to glorify Christ and give a good witness to the world around us. The Holy Spirit comes, first of all, I believe, to give us the power to love one another. And The Bible talks about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I like to think of ourselves as being baptized in love. Baptized in the love of God. The Holy Spirit also gives us the power to humble ourselves. Sometimes that's very difficult. It's hard to make ourselves low, which is what the word humble means in part. And again, one of the fruits of the Spirit, one of the evidences of the Spirit living in us is humility. It's not something that is optional. If the Holy Spirit is living in us, is leading us, then we are to expect the evidence of love and the evidence of humility. We lived in Lillooet before coming here 2.5 years ago, and we had a lot of mountain sheep in the area. Often we would see them down on the road. They would come and lick the salt off the road. And then we had a mountain right behind Lillooet where there was a sheer cliff that went up thousands of feet. There were many ledges on it. And the mountain sheep liked to stay on this cliff where they were safe from their predators like cougars and coyotes and so on. There's a story, I don't know how true this story is, about a mountain sheep that was walking along a narrow ledge high on the side of a sheer mountain face. And rounding a turn, this larger than usual mountain sheep or ram with formidable horns met another big ram who was equally well equipped. Each knew how to use their horns, and each had the capability of being a fierce fighter if necessary. There was not enough room for the two of them to pass side by side along that narrow ledge, and one misstep would mean falling hundreds of feet below and to certain death. Would they each just back off and reverse their direction? Or would they stubbornly try to prove who was the king of the mountain? surprisingly, the older one knelt down on the ledge, making himself as low as possible. The second ram got the idea very quickly and was able to step nimbly over the kneeling one and proceed onward. It is humbling to think that even an old sheep has something to teach intelligent and sophisticated human beings. If the sheep had stubbornly held their ground, trying to prove who was superior, possibly both of them would have fallen to their destruction. The willingness of one to humble himself saved them both. The Bible says to us, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." To humble ourselves not only means to make ourselves low, but it also means just courtesy and gentleness and meekness. The action of the mountain sheep it demonstrated to us the same kind of attitude that makes for harmony in our homes and even in international relations. In the midst of controversy, excuse me, I need some water here. In the midst of controversy in our homes, if we can humble ourselves with one another, it makes all the difference in strengthening our marriages and enabling us to go on in the love of Christ. The Holy Spirit also comes to give us the power to serve. There is a passage in 1 Peter 5:3 that gives a warning to leaders in the church. It says that those who are leaders, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, or have any leadership role, whether it is Sunday school or eldership or whatever it may be, it says, don't try to rule over those who have been put under your care. Don't try to rule over those who have been put under your care, but be an example to your flock. And I believe in the context of that, it is fair to say, be an example as a servant of God. We see in the first chapter and in the first this verse of James that James identifies himself as a servant of the Lord. And we find the same thing in Paul's letter to the Philippians. He's in the opening verses there. He says, from Paul and Timothy, who are servants of the Lord. We also read in Matthew 20, 28, where Jesus said, the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's the example that we have in the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit comes to give us the power to serve one another. The story of William Wilberforce has been before us a lot through the movie His Amazing Grace. And there are a variety of books out about him as well. He was born in 1759 in England. And at the age of 21, he became a member of Parliament. And he lived until 1833. In his time in Parliament, as a Christian who had been influenced by John Newton, he saw the evils of slavery, the evils of the slave trade. Slaves were picked up or were captured in Africa, brought on English ships to the Caribbean, to the West Indies and so on, to work on plantations that were owned by the British. And some were even brought to England to serve there. Wilberforce saw this as a great evil and a great blight on their society. And he made up his mind to use his skills as a politician, his influence, to do all he could to abolish the slave trade and hopefully to abolish slavery itself in the end. He worked for years and years and ran into all kinds of obstacles. He was laughed at, he was scorned, but he kept on. And this was his way of trying to serve God, to use his influence as a politician, to lift up people who were in bondage. And the book of Isaiah in chapter 58, it says, if we can break the chains of oppression, God's light will shine upon us. And that's how William Wilberforce wanted to serve God. He wanted to break the chains of oppression for fellow human beings, whether they be black or white. I'm not sure of the year when he finally saw success in the abolition of the slave trade, but it was many years and took a lot of perseverance. And then it was just before he died, or right around the time of his death, that the next stage, the abolition of slavery itself in the British Empire, was brought about or was passed in Parliament. It is not easy to serve God. It was not easy for William Wilberforce.
there can be a lot of opposition. There can be misunderstanding as we try to work in the name of Christ. But if we persevere, it brings the blessing of God. The Holy Spirit comes to give us the power to witness. And of course, all we do should be a witness. The serving of William Wilberforce was a witness to all of society. It is a witness to love others. But there is also a time to verbalize our faith, to have a reason for the faith that is within us when we are asked, as we are told to do so in 1 Peter 3:15, where it says, "Always be prepared to give a reason for the faith that is within you." And in Acts 1:8, which Dan read, it says that the Holy Spirit will give us the power to be His witnesses to the ends of the earth. A number of years ago, I was a substitute teacher at New Westminster Secondary School before I went into theology. I did that for one term. Enjoyed it, although it was difficult substituting. And I also had a night school class in grade 12 mathematics, which was a lot more enjoyable because I was able to develop a relationship with the students over a long term there. But in one of my classes, or in fact, in a number of my classes, I would sometimes give a little bit of history, say if I was teaching mathematics or I was teaching physics as a substitute. And I from time to time mentioned Blaise Pascal, who was a French mathematician and physicist, lived in the 1600s. And Blaise Pascal said that in the heart of every person is a God-shaped vacuum which can only be filled by Jesus Christ. I was fairly low-key in sharing this and would be very brief, but it was history, and I felt it fitted into my math classes and that I was justified in doing so. And I often wondered if sharing quotes like that in the context of mathematics was really going to make any difference. My witness here was seed sowing. And we often don't know what kind of results will come of sowing a few seeds here and there, leaving a scripture verse with somebody on a bus, you know, just sharing something like, Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And apart from Him, no one will go to God the Father. So I would share this quote from Pascal from time to time about Christ being the only one who is able to fill the vacuum in our lives. About a year and a half ago, I was feeling a certain amount of discouragement, wondering at times, you know, how effective is my witness being? And maybe others of you can identify at times. And I walked into the Pilgrim bookstore one afternoon, and I was talking to Greg, who was the owner. I didn't recognize him as someone that I knew, but I was talking to Greg. I brought a book to purchase, and then he looked at me, and he said, "Where do I know you from?" And I had no idea. And then he said, "It's those eyes." He said, "I'll never forget them." He said, "Did you ever teach at New Westminster Secondary?" Well, that was 40 years ago, you know, or more. And I said, "Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I did." He said, "Well, I was in one of your classes, and you talked about Blaise Pascal." And I just kind of stood there, and my, you know, my mouth began to drop open. And then he said, at that time that he was in, I think in grade 11 or in grade 10, he said, I was rebellious. I was giving my parents a lot of worries. I was smoking pot. He said, I didn't have a very bright future ahead of me the way I was going. But he said, after I heard that quote about Blaise Pascal, a scientist, a mathematician, I began to think. So my life wasn't changed right then by hearing that, but something began to click inside of me and caused me to reevaluate things and to look a little more closely at where I was going and to think about what the outcome might be. And he said, this opened me then to others who were seeking to influence me for the gospel. And within 2 or 3 years, he said, I made a commitment to Christ. And there he was, seeking to serve Christ by running a Christian bookstore, the Pilgrim Bookstore. That was a meeting that God arranged because I needed that encouragement at that time. And that really picked me up. And it was just an affirmation that we are to keep on sowing those seeds. Even though we don't know what happens, even though we may never know what happens here on this earth, keep on sowing the seeds of faith as God gives you the opportunity and leave the results to God. Don't worry if you don't know what happens. Just trust God that He will not let His word return to you without effect. The Holy Spirit comes to give us the power to love, the power to humble ourselves, the power to serve, and the power to witness. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also be led by the Spirit. Amen.